From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you. We do have a great show for you today. We got actor Kevin Bacon joining us later. We're pretty excited about that. He is in the new X-Men movie, but who cares about that? We've invited him here just so Carl can achieve his dream of being just 1 degree away.
Before, I always had to go through Queen Latifah in Beauty Shop.
But you're just a phone call away from us. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant for the week. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Matthew Workman from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, how are things in Brooklyn?
Great.
They always are. Or at least you believe they are, which is the whole point of living in Brooklyn. Well, welcome to the show, Matt. Great to have you with us. Let me introduce you to the panel this week. First up, it's a comedian whose DVD, Who's Paying Attention, is available in stores that might sell DVDs, Mr. Alonzo Bowden.
How you doing, Matt?
Next is the woman behind the advice column Ask Amy and author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson is here.
Hello, Amy.
Hi.
And lastly, a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She's performing June 10th at the Capitol Theater in Columbus, Ohio. I'm talking about Paula Poundstone. Matt, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I am.
All right. Your first quote is from Representative Anthony Weiner. He is the distinguished member from New York.
I can't say with certitude my system was hacked. Pictures can be manipulated. Pictures can be dropped in and inserted.
What Mr. Weiner could not say with, quote, certitude, was whether what belonged to him.
His lewd tweet.
Which included
a questionable photo of himself.
You are the most delicate man in Brooklyn, no question. What he could not say with, we'll give it to you, yes, but he could not say with certitude was whether that was a picture of his crotch or not. This week, the nation came face to face with Mr. Weiner. When we first heard the news that Congressman Weiner had tweeted a picture of Congressman Weiner Jr. to a young woman in Seattle, we were like, no way, this has got to be a joke of some kind. Nobody is that stupid, not even a congressman. But after Mr. Weiner spent 3 days denying it, we are now ready to believe it. The question is, why can't he say, quote, with certitude, if it's him or not? How do you get in that position? Does he have so many pictures of his crotch lying around, one could have gotten away? Maybe he's been taking a picture of his crotch every hour for a month to create one of those cool YouTube time-lapse videos.
No, but to his credit, he is investigating.
He's investigating.
Right.
He is investigating whether or not that's his crotch.
They gave him a hand mirror and...
He has hired an outside crotch identification agency.
Yes.
People CIA.
People that are trained. That's right.
Deep undercover. Undercover.
Certainly explains why Panetta is leaving.
Yeah. All week long, the congressman did all these interviews trying to defuse the situation. Every time he made it worse. He said it was a prank. He's a victim. He said the picture could have been taken out of context. In what possible context would you take that picture? Was he planning to send it to Fruit of the Loom to prove that the underwear was too small and he needed a replacement? Or maybe he sent it to his doctor with a message, okay, it's been 4 hours, time to get you involved. Or maybe we just sat around all week, came up with theories for him because he didn't have any. Or maybe he keeps that picture to send to anybody who's having trouble pronouncing his name. You know, is it Anthony Weiner or Anthony Weiner? Oh, thanks, Congressman, that really clears it up. Now I'll remember.
He couldn't You know, I remember when I was a kid getting the Sears catalog, and what a thrill it was to turn to the men's underwear page.
I bet. It made your heart go pitter-patter, even at that young age, I'm sure.
Well, not really for that reason, so much as just to see guys looking casual. You know, because they never looked serious or even uncomfortable being photographed in the underwear. They always had like a smile on their face, and there'd even be like two of them talking to one another.
Hey! Hey, what Bob. Maybe you can explain Amy as a professional advice columnist or Alonzo as a man.
I think the problem comes when it's unsolicited. It is not, you know, it just doesn't work. I mean, granted, women are equal and so on and so forth, but it's just not as welcome. When a woman sends a man a picture, you know, say it's a topless picture, we don't have to know who she is.
We're easy that way.
Hey, look what I got. And we'll show all our friends. Look at that. Who's that? I have no idea.
We're not going to be calling the police.
But apparently you send one to a woman and suddenly the press is involved. You know what I love? Somewhere in Brooklyn right now, Matt's thinking, what's question two?
Matt, are you still there?
I am.
All right.
I'm enjoying it.
All right. Matt, here is your next quote.
This isn't a campaign bus. This is a bus to invite more people to be interested in all that is good about America.
That was somebody letting us know that her big bus with her name on it that's being followed around by hundreds of cameras isn't a campaign bus. Who was it?
She was just here for some New York pizza. Sarah Palin. One Nation tour.
Yes, exactly. Sarah Palin. Well done, man. Sarah Palin's cross-country road trip is not a political event, she says, but just a summer vacation with her family, just like the ones you have. Except your summer vacations probably do not have a title. Hers is called the One Nation Tour, and she's, you know, just like any of us, has brought along her husband and her kids and all the typical summer road trip stuff, like suntan lotion, stuff for s'mores, and Greta Van Susteren. It's a road trip to important historical sites like Gettysburg in Pennsylvania and Trump Tower in New York City, where our founding fathers first made gold plating and toupees. Can you imagine how miserable her kids must be? Hey, kids, this summer we're going to lead a cavalcade of increasingly frustrated journalists slowly up the eastern seaboard. And Piper is like, can't we just stay home and gut fish like we usually do?
No, I mean, the idea that Sarah's on a bus tour across America for the entire summer, how many wild animals in Alaska are breathing a sigh of relief?
They're no longer obsessively watching the skies.
Thank God.
All right, here, Matt, is your last quote.
I'll wait for the Surgeon General's warning.
That was a man named Eddie Mello. He was interrupting a phone call to tell the Boston Globe that he's not going to panic over the World Health Organization's warning that what might cause cancer?
Cell phone.
Right! Right! The entire world gasped with horror as the news came out that our cell phones are trying to kill us. And then we immediately used our phones to post the news to Facebook. Seriously, our phones, come on. Our phones could be covered in lava and tiny sharks, and we would still use them. Like, no, I wasn't yelling at you, Mom. The tiny sharks were biting again, you know. Plus, the whole cancer thing, great excuse to get off the phone with people you don't want to talk to. Sorry, gotta go. My phone's giving me cancer.
My iPhone has a cancer test app, and it came up negative.
There you are. It's all right. This is actually good news. One of the things that this news means is all those calls your iPhone has dropped over these years, your phone wasn't malfunctioning. It was trying to save your life. But before you panic, you should know that this is based on a report from the World Health Organization. It's a survey of other data, and they've determined that there is a possibility that cell phones might be a carcinogen. It's on the same level of risk as coffee and pickles.
Oh.
Well, now.
Now.
Oh, yes. So if I'm on a cell phone at Starbucks, I might as well just do my cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Particularly if you order the pickle latte.
Yeah.
That's just a man who doesn't care.
Yeah.
Carl, how did Matt do in our quiz?
Matt had 3 correct answers.
Whoa.
Peter. Matt,
well
that
done.
Means you win our prize.
Thanks for playing. Bye-bye, Matt.
Bye now.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Alonzo, middle-aged men face all sorts of potential health problems, diabetes, hypertension. And now experts have added yet another disorder to the list. They say many middle-aged men unknowingly suffer from what?
Unknowingly suffer.
Unknowingly.
What am I unknowingly suffering from right now?
Yeah. It's a mental thing. It's a delusion where they think they are what?
Still studly?
Yeah. It's called hotness delusion syndrome.
Oh, jeez.
Statistics show there are far more single women than men over the age of 40, right? And as a result, the men that are around are fiercely pursued. That gives them an inflated perception of their own attractiveness. Scientists say there's but one cure for hotness delusion syndrome: wives.
Wives, exactly.
Doctors recommend that men only go out to bars with their wives safely in a nearby sterile container to be released when the disease strikes.
How long before these commercials start? Does anyone really want to see that? Some middle-aged, balding, paunchy guy, and then some young, hot woman. It'd be like the opposite of the beer commercial where she walks up and says, "No, seriously, it'll never happen."
Man, has this happened to you? You may be suffering from HDS. Right now, it's time for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Who's this?
This is Annette Richard. I'm calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Indianapolis, not far away. What do you do there?
I am a part-time math instructor.
That's cool. And do you do anything for fun?
I play around with fiber arts.
Fiber arts?
Tatting, and I can spin fiber, and I can also sew.
I'm sorry.
Tatting?
Tatting?
Tatting, yes.
What's tatting?
A long time ago, they used to make lace that way. And so it's sort of like macrame, but on a very small scale.
Wow.
It would never occur to me to tat.
I know. That's what I think of. Annette, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Annette's topic?
This will be just like selling umbrellas in a rainstorm.
Which is an easy thing to do, unless you were to use a slogan like, "When the lightning starts, hold up this metal pole." See, this week we read a story about somebody trying to sell a pretty good thing in a pretty bad way. Each of our panelists are going to tell you three stories of wrong-headed approaches to marketing, only one of which is real. Choose that real story. You'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to go?
Yep.
Let's hear first, then, from Amy Dickinson.
When the local zoo in Syracuse, New York, learned that one of their kangaroos had a baby roo nesting in her pouch, the zoo decided to market their good fortune by hosting a high-concept event featuring the famous 7-foot-tall drag queen RuPaul. Zoo director Gay Chofi explained it. "We called it the Roo in the Zoo. Get it, Roo? The idea was to create an event that would bring attention to our wonderful kangaroo exhibit." The trouble started when Mr. Paul, wearing a Bob Mackie outfit and matching boa, was asked to strike a pose next to the anxious mother kangaroo, and she responded the way kangaroos do, with a swift kick to his plaza pants, followed by a pummeling. The human Roo fell off his platform sandals, sustained cuts and bruises, and a badly sprained ankle. "Kangarooed," he tweeted. And attorneys on both sides are working out a settlement.
RuPaul tries to promote a kangaroo, and it does not work out. Your next story of someone with good intentions misfiring comes from Alonzo Bowden.
What's up your butt? This question was asked by numerous billboards across the state of Washington. The billboard showed people with pained expressions, and the question was written right above them: what's up your butt? The idea was to raise awareness about colon cancer, the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths in America. County Commissioner Sean Small told the Tri-City Herald, "We're going to give the taxpayers what they want," and agreed to remove the billboards after numerous complaints. Well, at least they didn't ask, "Who's up your butt?"
Yeah.
I added that last part, just so you know.
The what's up your butt Colon Cancer Campaign. Not working out. Yeah. Lastly, let's hear from...
It's not real. It should be.
Let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
Religious groups choke on healthy foods campaign. As America's health care costs continue to soar, the American Council on Healthy Eating frantically tries to promote a healthy diet. Somehow, where's the beef? Always comes out ahead of an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Determined to find a memorable approach, the American Council on Healthy Eating has inadvertently drawn the ire of religious groups with their What Would Jesus Chew campaign. Which they quickly pulled when the controversy began. Obviously, Christians are not averse to the idea of eating healthy, says Larry Bowers, the head of Christian Media Watch. We also, however, hold dear the image of Jesus Christ and reject the use of his image in any form of advertising. We, of course, deeply regret any offense caused by the campaign, says Haley Stites of the American Council on Healthy Eating. We intended the image of the Last Supper with Jesus eating fruits and vegetables and sipping a cup of soy milk while Judas bellied up to a burger and fries to be a humorous nudge. But it seems it may once again have driven the nation further into the grip of a diet of fatty potluck.
All right, one of these campaigns really was tried and really did not succeed. Was it from Amy Dickinson, Azu's attempt to market their new baby kangaroo with RuPaul? Disaster ensued. From Alonzo Bowden, a colon cancer awareness campaign that used the catchy slogan, "What's up your butt?" Or from Paula Poundstone, a campaign for healthy eating called "What Would Jesus Chew?" with a big rendition of The Last Supper. Which of these was the real story of a marketing campaign gone awry?
Wow.
Tap that, Missy.
I think I'm going to go with the Alonzo story.
Alonzo story. What's up your butt?
Yeah.
All right, that's your choice. Well, to bring you the real story, we spoke to somebody who was actually connected to this ill-fated campaign.
The billboard is a picture of a 50-year-old man with a kind of quizzical expression on his face, and it says, "What's up your butt?"
That was Yakima Public Health District Administrator Dennis Kukan. He ran the ill-fated What's Up Your Butt campaign out there. Congratulations, Annette. You got it right. You earned a point for Alonzo for being sincere. And you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting in your home voicemail or whatever you got. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And now the part of our show where we invite accomplished people on to do something that just doesn't count as an accomplishment. It's called Not My Job. So when he was just a teenager, Kevin Bacon left home to become an actor. And if my math is right, since that day, he's done at least one movie every month. But that's not all. He's recorded albums, he's inspired a great party game, and even had a delicious pork product named after him. Kevin Bacon, how do you have time to be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Yeah, it's just a lifelong dream of mine.
I understand. I remember seeing the first movie I saw you in, Animal House, in the theater back in 1978, and I've been a fan ever since.
Back then I wasn't suffering from hotness delusion.
So you're out now. Your latest movie is the X-Men First Class movie, which is exciting, because I thought the previous ones were just kind of coach class, but I'm glad that you decided to upgrade it. So you got on the big comic book movie bandwagon, which is totally cool. Did you get that stuff that like everybody else has gotten from Michael Keaton in Batman to Tobey Maguire with all the fans going, "That's not him! What a terrible idea to cast that guy!"
Yeah, well, you have to be careful what you look at online, because there was plenty of that. If you actually look at the way my character is drawn in the comic books, he is a gigantic behemoth, muscle-bound man with a long black ponytail that dresses like Benjamin Franklin, and it just wasn't really the way we wanted to go visually with it. Plus, I just, you know,
it's funny because that actually describes me, and I don't know why. We need to ask you, of course, about the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game. This,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, this was developed as like a college thing in the 80s. Somebody realized that you've done so many movies that you can take pretty much any actor who's ever lived and connect him to you eventually in 6 steps or less.
That's right.
And did you like it? Were you flattered?
No, I was horrified.
Why were you horrified?
Well, because I really thought it was a joke at my expense. I mean, I thought they were saying, can you believe that this lightweight can be connected in 6 degrees to Lawrence?
Wow.
And so I kind of thought, well, I'm going to kind of become a laughingstock. And then I went onto a television show, and I met these young guys, and they really, you know, they were real fans. I mean, they weren't, it wasn't something that they had devised to, you know, bring my career down. and so then I just kind of said, well, I guess I gotta, I've got to embrace it.
Absolutely. And you have, it has been computerized. There's a website called the Kevin Bacon Oracle, and we went there because we have nothing better to do. And we found out, this is very cool, you are 3 degrees from Benito Mussolini. Did you know that? He was in this movie called The Eternal City with Joan Bennett, who was in House of Dark Shadows with Dennis Patrick, who was in The Air Up There with Kevin Bacon.
That's amazing.
This is like, through the focus of this game, you become the seminal figure of the 20th and 21st centuries. I do not think this is a bad thing.
I don't know about that.
Nah. We read, I wanted to ask you about this, that you once, maybe as an experiment or just because you were tired of it, you actually invested money in a disguise so you could go out and not be recognized?
I did, yeah. I had it made by a special effects makeup artist.
And what was it, this disguise?
I can't say, but I don't want to say what it was because, you know, what if I want to use it again?
You might use it again.
Right. I can tell you that it was pretty subtle, but it was incredibly effective. I went out and experimented with it. Went through a very, very big, popular outdoor shopping mall in Southern California, and it was awful.
Really? Because it must have been so weird for you to be wandering about.
It was weird and not in a good way.
Why? Why was it not?
Because people weren't nice to me.
Welcome to our world, Kevin Bacon.
There you go.
Really? I mean, did you really have that? It's like, why aren't I being allowed to cut to the front of this line? Why are they not giving me free appetizers? I don't understand this. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, you hear from, and Barack Obama is one of many people to say this, like, oh, I really miss, I can't just walk down the street anymore, I'm not anonymous anymore. And you're like...
Yeah, I mean, look, there is a part of me that misses that, but would I trade it for all the great things that I've had, you know, with this lucky life? No, not in the second.
So you meant we had our new intern Amy go over your filmography and prepare for this interview, and she had one question that she really wanted us to ask you. It's my pleasure to do this for her. You made this movie called Where the Truth Lies.
Yes.
And in this movie, you have a threesome with Colin Firth and Rachel Blanchard.
Yeah.
So Amy would like to know, so what's Colin Firth like intimately?
In bed?
That was the question.
That's great. I mean, he'll be so happy to hear that was the question. When you have those kinds of scenes with people,
yeah.
Sometimes it can be kind of horrifying, and sometimes you can really form a lifelong bond. And that's I'll tell you, I saw him recently in London, and I was coming from, you know, the X-Men premiere, and I had all this, swag, you know, T-shirts and hats and you know, DVDs and little toys and stuff like that, and I brought it over to his house to give his two sons, and because they were fans of the movies and stuff like that, and I handed them each a bag, and I just couldn't resist whispering to them, I bet you didn't get any of this stuff from King's Speech.
Kevin Bacon, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
6 degrees, Schmick's Degrees.
So, yeah, we've talked about the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game. You can take any movie star, connect them eventually to you. But that's movies. We decided to ask you about three cases of different kinds of unexpected connections.
Okay.
Answer two of these questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice in the home answering machine. Carl, who is actor Kevin Bacon playing for?
Kevin is playing for Connor Griffin of Seattle.
All right, here is your first question. Hedy Lamarr, as you know, movie star in the 30s and 40s, probably most famous for playing Delilah, Samson and Delilah. But without her, we may not have had what? A, skorts, or the combination of skirts and shorts that women sometimes wear. B, cellular phones, or C, the political career of Al Franken.
What was the first one?
The first one was skorts. Those are those skirts that are like shorts, or shorts that are like skirts.
Oh, well, I didn't know what that was. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's so out there that I'm going to say Al Franken.
Who knows what caused the political career of Al Franken? But as far as we know, it wasn't Hedy Lamarr. Hedy Lamarr contributed significantly, though, to cell phones.
How?
Because in addition to being a gorgeous and successful movie star, much like our guest, she was an accomplished mathematician and patented a method for encoding broadcasts called frequency hopping that is used in cell phone and Wi-Fi technology. Really?
Wow.
All right, you still have two more chances. Next, we're going to ask you about the ventriloquist Paul Winchell. You may remember his classic characters, Jerry Mahoney, Knucklehead Smith, or his work as the voice of Tigger in all those Winnie the Pooh movies. You know.
Yeah.
But did you know about Paul Winchell that A, he discovered the young Arnold Schwarzenegger in Austria, B, he invented the artificial heart, or C, he was the inspiration for Chewbacca?
Whoa.
Oh, man. Discovered Schwarzenegger in Austria?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with that.
You're going to go with discovered Arnold Schwarzenegger, the theory being that there's Arnold Schwarzenegger lifting weights. Up comes a ventriloquist and says, you. You, sir, are going to be a movie star and the governor of California. Mark my words.
Are you giving me a chance to change my
mind? I am.
Okay. Then I will say that was a dumb idea. Now that I think about it, I got to say I'm leaning to the artificial heart.
I think you're right, yes. Paul Winchell was a ventriloquist and an inventor, and he invented and patented the first artificial heart. In fact, another weird connection, his partner in this project, Dr. Henry Heimlich, inventor of the Heimlich maneuver.
Wow.
All right. Last question. Here we go.
All right.
We're talking about Roger Ailes now. He is, of course, the powerful chairman of Fox News, and he has spent his life working in TV and consulting with Republican candidates. But he had a brief intermission from both of those in his career in the early 70s, in which he did what? A, he produced a Broadway musical on environmental themes called Mother Earth. B, he opened a health center in L.A. called What Ails You? Or C, he created a disco dance that he called the Jolly Roger.
What Ails You?
His name being Roger Ailes. It was a
no. Point. That's too lame.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Mother Earth.
You're right. Whoa! It was a Broadway show called Mother Earth, very early 70s. The music was by Tony Tennille of Captain and Tennille fame. He then went on to become a successful Broadway producer after that, before going back to politics.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew? I didn't know.
We could use a new musical about the environment,
it's,
frankly.
Maybe it's time for the Mother Earth revival.
There you go.
Carl, how did Kevin Bacon do in our quiz?
Well, Kevin had two correct answers, and that's enough to win for Connor Griffin.
All right.
Well done, sir. Pretty good. That was pretty good.
I mean, that was fun.
How does this feel compared to the other accomplishments in your life?
This is definitely one of them.
There you are. Yeah. Kevin Bacon is a world-famous movie star, has been so for many years. You can see him now in the movie X-Men First Class. It opens this weekend. Kevin Bacon, what a delight to talk to you.
Thank you
for those movies.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. In just a minute, Carl causes a mini scandal when he tweets a picture of his limerick to a fan. If you'd like to get in on that action, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Amy, the Obama administration, is represented in this case by Michelle Obama, came up with yet another scheme to try to get Americans to do something they have consistently refused to do. What?
Well, does it involve eating healthier?
Yes, it is in fact eating healthier.
Okay.
Americans won't do it. First, we had the four food groups, and that failed because that implied the four groups were equally important. And besides, everybody ignored the fruits and vegetables group to concentrate on the much more popular deep-fried meat group. Then the USDA, the government, tried the food pyramid. That had the good stuff down at the bottom where the pyramid was wide, and the bad stuff at the top, less of it. but Americans reacted to that by creating actual food pyramids many feet across, which they devoured. Remember when Applebee's restaurant came out with the all-you-can-eat great pyramid of cheese? So the new approach, this is, they just came out this week, Michelle Obama introduced it. It's a picture of a plate with portions marked out. Lots of vegetables, lots of fruits, lots of grains, less protein, even less dairy. Americans looked at that. They looked at the picture. They were a little scared, but then they realized that real plates are three-dimensional. So you could fit a lot into that little space if you just went up.
Yeah. Right. Is there a height requirement?
There isn't. So yeah. McDonald's immediately came out with its 4-foot-high meat tower. Fits right in the space. It's great. Right.
You know, my son has a concept of eating that sadly I totally relate to, which is, you know, I'll say to him, well, you didn't eat your salad, and he'll say, I'm full for that.
Oh, like there's a little pocket.
Yeah, his salad
in the
section
tummy.
Is full.
Yeah.
And yet his sugar and fat section is still able to load in. I'm full for that as he's grazing in the freezer. I think he thinks it's science when he says it, too.
Alonzo, a new study in the Journal of Consumer Research suggests that one reason realistic TV ads work so well is that a few weeks after we see them, we think what?
That it could happen to us?
Even worse.
That it did happen to us?
Yes, that it did happen to us. It's called the false experience effect. Vivid, realistic ads end up as vivid, realistic memories.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me
yes?
When I opened that beer, that wasn't a frozen train that came speeding through the wall?
Nor did those bikini models appear.
Oh, man.
What do you mean realistic?
Well, in the sense that, you know, if there's an ad that shows an experience, what they did was they showed an ad for popcorn to a group of people. And then they did not show the ad for popcorn. They sort of had a text ad for popcorn. And then they took those people and they mixed them up. And some of them they gave popcorn to and some of them they didn't. They waited a couple of weeks. They called them up. They said, hey, how was that popcorn that we gave you? And a significant portion of the people who saw the ad but did not eat any real popcorn said, oh, yeah, it was delicious.
Well, that's just social awkwardness.
Really? So you think they're like, oh, I don't want to lie. I don't want to make the researcher feel bad for not giving me a popcorn. I'll say,
absolutely.
Oh, the popcorn, it was great. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's exactly what that... These studies always just bother me.
I agree with you. I do find this thing hard to believe because I'm pretty sure it was me that used the Old Spice body wash and teleported to a boat. That happened. I know that happened. Amy, this week, former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has been on the stand at his own corruption trial. He confirmed that he considered appointing himself to President Barack Obama's Senate seat so that he could do what?
I can't imagine because he was governor at the time.
Yeah, but this is something the governors can't do, but he thought a senator could. I'll give you a hint. Basically, he believes that one Rod Blagojevich, armed with the power of the U.S. Senate, equals a team of elite Navy SEALs.
Oh, jeez.
So he could go get Osama bin
Laden? That's what he wanted to do.
Oh, man.
Oh, you know what?
That's what
we
he says
knew.
He wanted. That's why he wanted it.
We knew he was a patriot.
He was.
Yeah.
When the fate of the world is on the line and a terrorist mastermind must be caught, there's one man you would never, ever, ever think of calling to do the job, Rob Blagojevich. But in 2008, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take President Obama's Senate seat himself, and he says he wanted it so he could go get bin Laden.
You know what? That makes him the right man for the job, and I'll tell you why.
Please.
Because bin Laden would never have suspected.
That's true.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that makes hotness delusion look mild.
It really does. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. You can also find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. and our shows coming up in Portland, Oregon, and Nashville, Tennessee. You can also check out our little side project. It's called How to Do Everything this week, How to Treat a Jellyfish Sting Without Embarrassing Yourself. That's at howtodoeverything.org. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Corey from Wixom, Michigan.
Wixom?
Yes.
Wixom, Michigan? Where is Wixom?
It's about 30 miles west of Detroit.
Okay. Wixom sounds like an adjective used to describe a woman you're fond of. Oh, she's so Wixom. She's a Wixom lass. What do you do there?
I actually work for a large pizza chain in quality assurance.
You wait a minute. You work
quality assurance?
Quality assurance. Like Domino's, like that, one of those big companies?
Oh, that's one of them.
One of them. But different one. You work for a different one. But so you're the person in charge of making sure the pizza's good?
Yes.
Okay. How do you do that?
We actually have a chemistry lab.
Oh, that's comforting.
Wow.
Corey, welcome to the show. Carl Castle right now is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Complete two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
Here's your first limerick.
We firemen help those old and frail, and for pets, many ladders we scale. We'll climb your house walls for beasts great and small. Yes, even a wee slimy
snail.
Yes, indeed. Emergency fire services in Britain are being criticized for spending millions of taxpayer money on non-emergency services. For example, sending a Welsh fire department to rescue a small snail stuck to a wall.
No.
In the firefighter's defense, the snail was pretty high up, and it looked scared. Certainly the elderly woman who called them in was concerned about it.
Okay, well, what did they do with the snail after they got it?
They ate it.
Well, I don't know. Presumably they placed it gently on the ground. Maybe they brought it to the little snail hospital in a snail ambulance. All right, here is your next limerick.
When I'm online, it won't do to yell. I'm a teen who lives in his own shell. But don't take it away. Anything I will pay. I'll trade Wi-Fi for my sense of...
smell?
Smell, yes, very good. A group of researchers have found that 53% of young people aged 16 to 30 would rather give up their sense of smell than their smartphones or Twitter accounts.
Wow.
To quote one of the researchers, young people utilize technology as a kind of super sense, which connects them to infinite knowledge, friends, and entertainment opportunities, unquote. Okay, maybe it's that. Maybe it's that... kids' noses have already all been destroyed by ODing on Axe body spray.
Oh, my God, yes.
I know. I was going to say, I have teenagers at home, and I'd trade, too.
Yeah. Here is your last limerick.
Our gorilla's well-mannered now, ain't he? With a napkin, he dabs his lips quaintly. Peels bananas for me. Lifts his pinky for tea. Yes, his food manners are rather...
dainty.
Yes, according to research from Scotland, gorillas have excellent table manners. Gorillas there were observed carefully stripping and folding leaves before, quote, tidily popping them into their mouths. While none so far have been spotted using knives and forks, one alpha male was seen primly tucking a big napkin into his sweater vest before eating his own poop. And yes, in case you were wondering, this is really NPR. Carl, how did Corey do in our quiz?
Corey had a perfect game, Peter. Three correct answers. Corey, you win our prize.
Well done. All right. Thank you so much, Corey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Time has now come to play Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players now gets 60 seconds to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores to this point?
Alonzo Bowden has the lead, Peter. He has 4 points. Amy Dickinson has 3. Paula Poundstone, 2.
All right. Paula, you are in third place, so you're up first.
Yeah.
The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. A report from an international panel released this week declared the global war on blank is a failure.
Drugs.
Yes, according to the World Health Organization, a previously unseen strain of blank is causing the outbreak in Europe.
E. coli.
Right. Ratko Mladic was extradited from Serbia on Tuesday and flown to stand trial for war crimes at blank.
The Hague?
Right. The Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks began play in the blank.
The NBA Finals.
Right. Making $86.5 million in its opening weekend. The movie Blank broke box office records.
Bridesmaids?
No, Hangover 2. This week, the CDC marked the 30th anniversary of the first reporting of Blank.
It?
Right. A man at a baseball game at Dodger Stadium got a talking to from security after he blanked.
Stuck his hot dog in his pants so he could photograph it and tweet it.
No.
Hence launching a successful political career.
Yeah. No, he got a talking to after he was seen dropping his young daughter to the floor in order to catch a foul ball. Man, he was holding his little daughter up in the air so she could see the game, but when the foul ball came his way, he dropped her to the ground without a second glance and went for the ball. No worries, though. Girl was not hurt, and father and daughter made up later when they got on the Jumbotron for the stadium's beloved Bad Dad Cam. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and Paula has taken the lead.
That was really well done, Paula.
Wow.
That was excellent.
Thank you very much.
All right.
That was amazing. Great.
Thank you very much.
Amy, you're up next. Please fill in the blank. President Obama met with both Republicans and Democrats in the hope of finding a way to raise the blank.
Debt ceiling.
Right. After 60 Minutes reported that he was involved with doping during his cycling career, Blank demanded an apology.
Lance Armstrong.
Right. This week, Google announced that hackers located in Blank broke into hundreds of Gmail accounts.
China.
Right. Landing in Florida on Wednesday, the Blank completed its final flight.
The Endeavor.
Yeah, the space shuttle. A Maryland man learned the hard way not to talk so loudly on his cell phone after people heard him blank.
They
heard him say that there was a warrant out for his arrest. After 19 seasons of the NBA, basketball player Blank announced his retirement via Twitter on Wednesday.
Shaquille
O'Neal. Archaeologists off the coast of North Carolina recovered what they believed to be the anchor from the pirate Blank's flagship.
Blackbeard.
Yes. Police responding to a call about an alligator near a Kansas City pond shot it twice before realizing Blank.
It was stuffed. Fake.
It was a concrete lawn ornament. Yes, indeed. A resident called police to tell them about the alligator, and when they got to the scene, they found it to be threateningly still. Quiet.
But wasn't this like in Kansas?
This was in, where was this? This was in Kansas City, yeah.
So how many alligators do you find in Kansas City? I'm sorry.
Why would they shoot it anyways? In Scotland, they rescue snails.
Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 7 correct answers for 14 more points.
Whoa.
She now has 17 points, and Amy has taken the lead.
All right.
Can I just give up now?
No, you may not. How many, Carl, does Alonzo need to win?
7 correct answers.
All right, you can do this, Alonzo. Here we go. Fill in the blank. The Pentagon refiled charges this week against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and 4 other men accused of planning the attacks on blank.
On 9/11?
Right. On Wednesday, Massachusetts became the latest state to be hit with deadly blanks.
Tornadoes.
Right. Police in Florida had an easy time solving a case involving a stolen television when they noticed a man blanking.
Watching it?
No. When they noticed the man riding his bicycle with a 59-inch television balanced on the handlebars. Hundreds of people visiting Florida beaches for Memorial Day weekend were stung by an invasion of blank.
Jellyfish.
Right, on Thursday, Jill Abramson was named as the first female executive editor of the blank.
Oh, don't know.
The New York Times. A man has been banned for life from Delta Airlines because he flirted with another passenger by telling her blank.
How hot he was.
No.
He was 45 years old.
He was terrible.
Chubby.
No, he flirted with her to try to impress her by telling her that he had enough poison gas to knock out the entire plane. So is that a canister of poison gas in your pocket? You're just happy to see me. Brian Sisko was sure that telling his cute seatmate that he could take out the whole plane would get him a date. All it got him was a questioning by the TSA. Question number 1. Dude, has that line ever worked for you? Carl, did Alonzo do well enough to win?
Well, he needs 7 to win. He had just 3 correct answers. So with 17 points, Amy
Dickinson.
I told
you I wanted to quit.
There you are.
I'm sitting next to 2 readers.
With 17 points, Amy Dickinson is this week's champion.
Well done.
Wow. First first Kevin Bacon, and now this?
No, it's exciting.
Oh, it's a big day.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the next congressional scandal to make us forget about Anthony Weiner. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Chase, offering the Marriott Rewards Premier Credit Card. Details at marriottpremier.com/radio. Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at progressive.com. And to the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for homeownership at houselogic.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago. In association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. We want to officially welcome our new intern, Amy Solomon, for the summer. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchik and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Waltrover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the next scandal in Congress that'll make us all forget about Anthony Weiner? Alonzo Bowden.
An unnamed congressman will be found to be having sex with his wife and only his wife. And Congress will actually shut down all other business to investigate.
Amy Dickinson.
Nancy Pelosi's upcoming stint on Dancing with the Stars will be postponed because even though we know she's left-winged, it will be discovered that she also has two left feet.
And Paula Poundstone.
Well, now that Anthony Weiner has snapped a pic and tweeted it of his wiener, Congressman John Dingell will snap and tweet a picture of his dingle.
Well, if we hear about any of those scandals, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell
Thank
Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Alonzo Bowden, Amy Dickinson, and Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. Is NPR.